Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. I hope you guys are all doing well. It has been 2 weeks since I am doing my live show. I hope you guys missed me because I missed you all in doing the show in the studio. There has been some construction work going on in the studio, which is why I was absent for 2 weeks, but I am back with another great interview prepared for you all. I'm interviewing a band called Teen Days. I hope you guys are excited for this interview. It is officially, I'd say mid-August now, so I hope you guys are, you know, having fun with the rest of the summer. The weather is getting quite colder now. I think it's going to jump up to 26 degrees in the weekend again, but I think generally it's going to cool down. So I think that's nice. You know, too hot is not the best. But without further ado, let's get through some ads and some PSAs and begin with this exciting interview. So here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam,
Nisiaya, and the Skakuya, Talitin, who Musqueam must stay. Okay, let's see here. Blend equal parts science and stories. Add a few shakes of music and soundscape, and wrap it all up in a big question. How can we see this more than human world in a new light and take part in shaping a healthy Anthropocene? Catch Future Ecologies every Sunday at 8 a.m. on CITR.
If you're interested in maintaining a healthy lifestyle during midterms, finals, or any time throughout the year, then Freshie has you covered. Stop in today at Freshie on Westbrook Mall and order one burrito, salad, or bowl and get the second for free. Buy one, get one for free. Freshie on Westbrook Mall is your one-stop food as fuel choice for people on the move. Freshie, eat, energize.
Hastings Crossing is Vancouver's eclectic heart, a welcoming, diverse community rooted in social innovation, compassion, and cultural wisdom. Situated downtown along Hastings between Richards and Gore, you will find some of Vancouver's OG businesses like Nemesis Coffee, Meat and Bread, Dressu, Nuba, and many more. By supporting local businesses and social enterprises in Hastings Crossing, you are also helping to shape a more resilient, inclusive, and sustainable local economy in the downtown east side. Find out more about how Hastings Crossing Business Improvement Association is working to support the people and economies of Vancouver's downtown east side at hxbia.com or follow us on Instagram at hxbia.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
And we are back. For those of you who have just joined in, my name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. Today I have a very, very interesting interview set up for you guys today. It is, they're a band called Teen Days, and I think it's going to go very well. I hope you guys are stoked to learn about these wonderfully talented bands. And I think it's a great opportunity, not only for me, but for all of you guys who are either musicians or who are aspiring artists, to really learn about, you know, what it's like to be a musician and an artist, and kind of learn their ways of how they navigated their path. So why don't we get to the interview? If you can hear me, do you want to briefly say hi?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank
Enjoying
you.
Enjoying a nice cloudy day here in the Fraser Valley.
Yeah, I mean, I think the weather is cooling down since a couple days ago, I'd say. But I think it's going to go back up this weekend and probably plateau after that. But how are you?
Yeah, life is good. Just did a little bit of camping this last week. And yeah, just trying to get the most out of summer.
Yeah, I bet camping right now in this weather is probably perfect. I think it's not too hot, it's not too cold. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into this interview. So for the audience, would you like to give a very brief introduction about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Jameson Isaac, and I've been making music as Teen Days since 2010. Yeah. Just put out a new record a couple weeks ago. And that's the two sentence description, I think.
Awesome. Your new album, Elegant Rhythm, if I have it correctly, I actually heard the two songs you sent me, and they're phenomenal. And you guys will be able to hear it at the end of the show. So please stay tuned till the end of that. The first thing I would like to ask is moving way back to the beginning of your career. So I guess since if you were a child or when you were a teenager, was music something that was always in your life, or was it something you picked up at a certain point? How did that begin for you?
Yeah, I think it's always been a pretty important part of my life. At least from the stories that I hear from when I was very young, I was always kind of fascinated by it. And I have my own kind of early memories of growing up with a piano in the house. And my dad is a musician. And so there was always instruments and, you know, a bag of percussion instruments, you know, sitting in the toy room amongst everything else. But, you know, my favorite toy when I was a child was like this plastic saxophone. And there was just always some sort of draw to instruments and to music for me. And that it was something that I think my parents did a really great job of nurturing. And, you know, for myself now as a parent of two kids, it's something I'm very, I guess like conscious or aware of. I have no intention of sort of like forcing it upon my kids, but you know, I am so thankful that music played such a big role in my childhood. I'm trying to do the same for my kids.
I think a lot of people have that thing where they kind of begin doing since they're young. You know, it's a low stakes thing. It's very friendly, such as music or sports. Was there a specific turning point in your life where you began thinking about music as something you could possibly do seriously or as a career? Or was that an approach that you kind of began with? How was that process like for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, I don't know. I think really like the sort of start of the internet was maybe like a big contributing factor in that, because I never lived in a big city and I never really had a kind of one-to-one personal example of music being a career. It always just kind of felt like there was some sort of magic. There was, it always felt like there was a bit of distance. I never understood how to kind of bridge that gap from being someone that liked music and liked playing instruments, and eventually kind of when I got into my later teen years, started like experimenting with recording and writing music and composing and production, all that sort of stuff. Even at that point in things, it was always just like, I'm going to just have fun making it and put it online and kind of see what happens. I think I very fortunately had a lot of time to fail, not in public. You know, there was no audience other than just kind of like my friends and family for a really long time. Even though I was putting stuff on the internet, like way before I started doing Teen Days. I think maybe I can remember certain records or sort of like certain bands that made music seem like it could be a more accessible thing or a possible or potential future or sort of like creative path for me. But it was always just kind of been this very mysterious and magical thing. Even in the way that Teen Days came together, which, like I said, I had other projects and was, you know, quote unquote, like trying to do music while I was getting my degree. And then I graduated from college, and like 2 months later, I put some songs online as Teen Days. And by the end of the year, it was my full-time job. It's crazy to think about that type of speed, because I never really had much of a chance, or there was never really that much time for me to kind of sit around and go like, okay, like, how am I going to make this work? It just happened in a really kind of natural way, I guess. Yeah.
Would you possibly say that transition with enjoying music as a hobby, slowly increasing to a career, was almost natural for you?
Definitely, yeah. I think really the thing that kind of made that happen was relationships that I had. So, you know, I had talked about how growing up, I never really had that one-to-one firsthand experience of seeing a person do music full-time. There's no one really in my life that did that. But as I got older and I started playing shows, meeting other people that, you know, were doing music in more of that kind of hobby way, but, you know, this community started forming. That's when that turn happened. And I think what's really amazing about that is that, you know, it was never a contrived thing. I was never like super thirsty. I was never like trying to put myself out like, I need this, like, I really want to do music full time. I did. I had like, obviously, like what a dreamy idea to get to, like, you know, do your main passion in life as your work. But I think the relationships that I had with people played a bigger role in that than any sort of like, you know, hustling that I did. Yeah.
Would you possibly say that because of that naturalistic process to your career almost helped you continue on with music for over a decade, you know, with the same passion and interest? Because I think when people begin intentionally thinking about something more seriously and possible as a possible career choice, it's almost like they're constricted by that choice because they're looking at it in a different perspective. So for you, do you think that naturalistic approach almost benefited your career throughout?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I mean it's wild to go back and listen to my first Teen Days record, which I don't do very often, but every once in a while something will, you know, remind me of that time. Or, you know, my wife will like put on one of those songs for the kids or something like that. And when I hear it, I just hear this like fully unaffected by expectation or pressure to do a certain thing, or for, you know, that music was not made with success in mind. It was just made for fun. It was made truly as a distraction for me, you know, in a time when I should have been doing homework or writing papers. And I it was my procrastination. It was like purely just fun and playing. And so, yeah, I do think that because everything came about in such a natural way, there's always been a piece of that. I always am trying to tap into that feeling and turn off any sort of, you know, critical expectations about like, this needs to be a record that like succeeds in a certain way or, you know, generates this amount of income or, yeah, because I do think that, you know, I think we can probably all agree that like all of our favorite pieces of art existed outside of that framework. You know, I know that like, especially now it feels like we are all really trying to succeed with, you know, like everyone wants to be able to create the most truest form of art they can, the most purest example of themselves, while also having it be the thing that helps sustain their life financially. But yeah, you have to be able to hold both of those thoughts at the same time, I think. And so anyways, going back to your original question, I do think that, yeah, having the career sort of come out of a very natural place was a special thing, and the creative process has never really been like, you know, tainted for me. It's always been my sort of like safe space to go to.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. I want to move into the beginning of Teen Days and start up with, what was the inspiration behind the name of your band, Teen Days?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I was in college when I started the project. And a friend of mine was turning 20. And the day before, we had a, like, teen day for him to celebrate his last day of being a teenager, and like, you know, went to 7-Eleven and got Slurpees and like loitered on some train tracks in Abbotsford, where I was living at the time, and just kind of like, I don't know, played video games till 2 a.m. I had just a stereotypical teen day to sort of send him off into quote-unquote adulthood. But yeah, I was working on the first Teen Days record at the time. I knew that it was sounding different than the thing that all of the music I'd put out before then. There was just something about it that felt different. And so I had been given the idea to start a new project and didn't have a name for it yet. And was working on this song that was about that teen day and just named the file Teen Days, D-A-Z-E. And was like, actually, you know, that might be a good name for the project. And yeah, it stuck.
So would you say it has that theme of youth?
Yeah, and that's definitely, I think, the vibe of the project very much was trying to capture that feeling when I first started. Yeah, feeling kind of this, like, trying to tap into kind of this like innocence, this optimism or hope of kind of just like anything can happen, which was, yeah, very much where I was at the time, some 14 years ago.
Are those themes something you consider when you're writing your songs, or have they changed throughout time?
Yeah, I think when I was starting, that was definitely something I was thinking about and trying to tap into, both like lyrically and, but also just kind of the vibe of the songs. I wanted them to feel like these kind of, you know, hazy, positive sounding. And just as you grow older and you experience life, I think I was very naive and innocent in a lot of ways when I like started this project. And, you know, to fast forward to the last record, like this record I just put out is like very much a, like, you know, adult, going through life in their 30s, their late 30s. And the responsibilities and the just season of life has changed so much. I think it would be silly for me to try and like write music that was trying to like bottle up or encapsulate that feeling of youth. I think I did a very good job of that when I was that age, and it makes more sense for me to be writing old man songs now.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get it. Moving into your new album, Eloquent Rhythms, what would you say would be some key differences or some distinct features that this album has compared to, I guess, quote unquote, your youthful albums?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, like I said earlier, I have two kids now, and there's lots of songs about life as a parent. There's a couple songs on the record that are kind of dealing with the idea of generational trauma and, you know, feeling nervous about what sort of, not only just externally, what sort of world we're leaving for our children, but also internally, you know, what are the things that I'm passing along to him? I say him as because I wrote the song specifically before my second son was born. But lots of songs about that sort of stuff. Lots of songs about being in a relationship for a really long time. My wife and I have been together for we've been married for 11 years. We've been together for 14 years. Yeah, you know, almost a decade and a half of being together with a person, and the seasons that you go through and the way you sort of grow together and the way that you grow in different ways. And yeah, there's you know, a lot of music that I was making early on in my career as Teen Days was very kind of like young love, because we had just started dating when I started the project. And now there's songs about the realities of being with that person for 14 years. I think one of the other things I thought about a lot in when I was making this record, or kind of the themes that I even hear when I think about the record, there's a lot of feelings of kind of like taking stock of where you are in life and maybe being a bit more reflective on those younger years, and being able to be thankful that I've got to have the last 14 years that I have, while kind of looking out at, you know, a song like Backyard is about my literal backyard that I'm looking at right now in this moment, and being thankful for just being at this place in life where we have some of the space and really like luxuries that we have in life. Or like Neighborhood is another song on the record that's all about this neighborhood that I live in, that is like a very dreamy place to be. Yeah, I think it's, when I think about kind of, especially that very first Teen Days record, which is called Four More Years, it was like, it's full of like inside jokes. I was kind of like trying to make my friends laugh with certain songs. I made it during my like last year of college, and my friends that were younger than me that were still in school and were going to be returning kept joking about how I should do four more years of school, which is how the title came about. And so, you know, there's, it's just very loose. The project started very loose with really not a lot of consideration for the future, or I had no, there was no preconceived notions of me being here 14 years later talking about this kind of surprisingly long career that I've had. All that is to say, I think I approach songwriting and what I want to talk about in a very, very different way than I did back then.
I really love the word you used, saying, trying to portray the reality of being in such a long relationship. And I think when I listen to songs, and the ones that I do enjoy have that sense of truthfulness and a sense of reality, because it creates an idea of relevance to your life. Are there any goals or things that you keep in mind when you're writing songs?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. A big goal is to try and be as honest with the listener as possible. On this record specifically, you know, I am singing on every song for the most part, which is not something that I've done on my last like two or three records. And I kind of just had this feeling of like, if I'm going to make songs where I'm singing, I think that this is a good time or opportunity to express the realities, like you said, of where I am in life. In the past, when I've made albums where I was singing more, I tended to look outwards and not be quite as introspective. I think a part of that is because I also sort of like came of age in like emo and hardcore scene a very long time ago. And I got to a point where, you know, I would look back on that and it would be kind of cringe or kind of like, you know, like that was kind of like, you know, teen years for me to write these songs that were really expressive about my own personal feelings. And for a really long time, I was just like, no, if I am going to talk about myself, it's always going to be very kind of guarded or mysterious, really not addressing what's actually going on. And for whatever reason with this record, yeah, that was my big goal or intention, was to like create music that someone could listen to it and they could go, oh, I know exactly what this person's going through. And yeah, it's funny because I've also made so much dance music in the last 4 years, and the functionality of that is just like wildly different. You know, I'm thinking about things from more of a sound design sense, where, you know, the mixing and the production and the arrangement, I'm trying to elicit a response from people on a dance floor rather than, you know, writing lyrics that are going to get people to connect to it. So I do think that like knowing the function of the song is a really big, important part of the process. And that was it. I knew when I was making this record, this is not going to be a dance record. This isn't something that I'm intending for people to hear in a club. It's a proper home listening album that, you know, could potentially connect with people that are, yeah, in that same stage of life as me.
Yeah. I want to now go into your music, the music itself. So you are a electronic musician. What attracted to you that certain genre or medium, I guess you can say, in creating your music?
Yeah, I think a bit of what we were talking about earlier with the idea of looking at music as this kind of mysterious, magical thing. And when I was maybe, I'm thinking of when the first Daft Punk record was released, which I think was 95 or 96, seeing the video for the song Defunk on Much Music. And that video is so, it's incredible, but it's like a short film, essentially. The song plays as kind of the score in the background. And I was just so confused, but, you know, totally intrigued by like, what is this song? Is this a band? You know, how are they making this music? Electronic music was always the most magical. Like, I could look at a band and see guitars and drums and mics and get it. like I understood how they were playing their instruments all together, and that's how it came out. But I like, you know, see, okay, this is Daft Punk. I have no idea what they look like. It's a guy walking around with like a dog head on his shoulders. I think the song that I'm hearing is the song that I'm going to buy on the record, but I have no idea, like, did they play the instruments on it? Is it, I didn't know what a sample was, anything like that. And so from a really early age, electronic music just held this total wonder and fascination to me. And as I've gotten older and obviously, you know, have begun to understand electronic music composition and you know, the inner workings of how to use a computer to record and how basic synthesizing and sampling all works, there's still something about it. I like, makes me smile when I think about it. There's still this kind of magic to me about all these things. I'm like I said, I'm at my house right now in my home studio. I'm just like surrounded by all these synthesizers and drum machines, and I've got some CDJs because I've been DJing a lot more. And that's another thing that I was just like, DJing was always this like magical thing to me. How are these people able to, like, you know, take something as simple as just playing two songs after another, but it, like, something about it just creates this big feeling and emotion. Yeah, I think maybe that's kind of at the root of it. I was like I always had these big emotional reactions to these electronic songs. And I was always so fascinated by that, how like it goes kind of against the idea that the most emotional music is coming from a person playing an instrument, which I don't necessarily think is, I think, you know, people are going to have deep connections to all sorts of different music. But for me, it was always dance music. Yeah.
I mean, I've met a couple musicians that actually have DJed before. And I love to ask, how has DJing influenced your music, or how has it maybe aided into your methods of creating music, or maybe it hasn't served you very well? What was that like for you in your experience with DJing?
Yeah, it's had a huge effect on me, thinking about the functionality of a song, for sure. Thinking about things that will maybe seem a little surface, but I think have a profound effect on how you listen to music, which is like the sequencing of an album, the sequencing of a live show. I think having DJed as much as I have in the last 4 or 5 years or so, understanding concepts of tension and release, that's a big part of DJing, building up attention and, you know, playing the right song at the right time, or maybe even playing the wrong song at the right time and having it work in a surprising way. Those are all concepts and experiences that I bring into how I make music. And again, there's a clearer connection when I'm making dance music, because I'm thinking about, again, the functionality of, like, this is a song that I want to have played in someone else's DJ set. So how can I, you know, arrange the song in a certain way so that it'll lend itself to that experience. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a very nice question to ask, because I think everybody or every musician have different answers for themselves. And I think it's just very interesting to learn about that. And I really loved that idea of tension and release and how you learn that. And I think that special thing about music is that it's a full body thing. You know, you listen to it and you can kind of feel it and you're moving. And I think that's just the fun of music, and that's the beauty of it. What do you think is the beauty and that special power music has, personally for you, or maybe for the audience?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think It's always just been this kind of like universal language or something like that. I've made so much I've made so much instrumental music. And the idea of communicating an emotion or, you know, painting a picture for someone without being so forward as using lyrics and saying like, here is what the song is about. I think that really speaks to it. You can listen to an instrumental song and pick up on the vibe of, you know, what it's potentially supposed to be about. And obviously a lot of things come into play with that, whether that's album art or track titles, you know, these things really shape the listener's perception of what's going on. But I do think that there's something about the experience of listening to music that's just totally unmatched in across different art forms, different experiences, you know, the way it can bring people together, but it can also be this incredibly, you know, very solo, personal experience. I don't know. I'm very okay with not knowing. You know, I really enjoyed the experience of reading David Byrne's How Music Works book a couple of years ago. And I'm also just fully okay with being like, I can't explain it, you know? I'm perfectly content saying like, I don't know. There's just something magical about it.
I think that's the beauty of it as well. It's just the fact that you just can't come up with an answer. And again, it kind of goes through that mystery. So I want to go into the process of writing and run me down through the process of how you write a song and maybe talk about some of the things that you face while writing your song that are possibly challenging for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, this record is kind of a departure for me after writing a bunch of dance music. And I think what was fun about that was I took a lot of the practices and sort of like, what would the word be? A lot of the stuff that I was doing in the process of making dance music, I brought with me in making this music that is very much not dance music. Whether that's like coming up with a loop or using a sample as the basis of the song. I think with this record, I would usually sit at the piano. I bought like an electric piano at the start of the pandemic, and I would sit at the piano and just kind of like experiment mess around with chords until I heard something that I liked. And then for me, I write and record everything at the same time. So everything in the studio is plugged in and ready to record at any moment. So I would sit down, play, improvise, something would come up that I would like, I would hit record, I would record a little part, and then immediately I start to go into arrangement mode. And so, it, you know, for, as an example, that song Backyard, I played those main chords and in my head could kind of start to hear where a song might come out of those chords. So from there, maybe I would like just write like a really simple drum part with some samples, would create a bit of a structure. Usually I'll write it in chronological order. So I would write those chords on the piano and then I would make the whole verse section and then think, okay, I want this to go into a chorus or some other part. I would go back to the piano and sort of again build my way up from scratch on a chorus. And I've been doing this for such a long time that I am pretty good at finishing something in that first initial spark. So for a lot of the songs on this record, I would make a full instrumental version of it with an idea of where I wanted the vocals to go. And then I would come back the next day and record vocals over top of it. So, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hours to get a first version of what that song might look like. And yeah, you know, it was 4 years of working on this record in amongst doing a bunch of other things. And I probably wrote 150 songs, I think. You know, so like I just did that process over and over and over. And sometimes I would get into these zones where, you know, I could make 2 instrumentals for a song in one day. And then the next day, you know, like I was moving at such a quick pace when I was in that specific kind of like flow state or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, everything for the most part kind of started around the piano, writing, taking some chords that I liked, maybe looping them, and then just following my gut when it came to like arranging and coming up with different parts. I had some friends come and play parts on this record. My friend Sam played bass on it. My friend Andy played drums. Another friend Max played drums on a different song. But everything is the process of coming up with the idea in the song. For the most part, everything just started with me in the studio here. And then after that, it was all about bringing other people into sort of like add flourishes and in multiple cases, actually like re-record things that I had written, but, you know, with a lot more talent and taste.
Yeah, for sure. Music is a very participatory form of art where you perform your work to people that sometimes you know and most times you don't know. And obviously there are going to be pieces where the reaction is more positive, I guess, and more encouraging than others. And I'm sure you've experienced that with some of your songs, where one song, it's, you know, a lot of people are standing up and dancing and just having a lot of fun. And one song, you know, sometimes they just listen and just sit, or, you know, these different reactions. Does it ever affect you? Like, do those different reactions affect the way or the genres that you choose to write your music? Because I think sometimes artists really tend to put too much weight into what the audience likes and what they react to, than more so with what they want to write about and what really feels like home for them.
Yeah, I think maybe earlier on in my career, I was more affected or preoccupied by those types of things. But I've kind of always just wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And that's kind of reflected in the team that I've had around me. So I've never really wanted to work with anyone who was like, hey, you have to make a certain type of music, or, oh, this type of music is like really buzzy right now. You should make a, you know, hyper pop record, or you should do whatever. It comes back to something I said earlier, the idea of like, I've always wanted it to be the most honest expression of myself and my taste and what I like. So yeah, I think I just don't think I would get a lot of enjoyment out of making something if I knew it was done fully for someone else. But there's this funny thing that happens. As soon as it's done and I've made it, I fully am, you know, kind of detached from the way that it's received, because it's not mine anymore. You know, I make a record, I put all this time and effort into it. It's an honest expression of the time that it was made. And then I release it, and it's for you to decide, you know, what it's about, or how you want to react to it. And I think I used to be a lot more precious about that sort of thing. It would be like, no, like this record is meant to be received in this way. It's this kind of thing. You know, it's a dance record. So you have to, you know, you can't sit and listen to it. It's meant to be moved to. And now I'm just sort of, I'm not as precious about it. I think those types of things are too, you're just asking to be let down if you do that sort of thing. It's so much easier and freeing to just be like, you just, you know, perceive it however you want. If this is this record that I just put out, for example, I don't have any plans to tour it or to play live with it at all. But if someone says like, hey, you know, we're throwing a festival or we're putting on this show, would you want to come share what this record would sound like live? Obviously, like, if the situation was right, I would be down to, but I don't know. I just like, I feel fully okay with just at this point in my career, making a record, putting it out, and however people want to receive it, then that's how they can receive it.
All right. For the last question for you today, I want to ask you about fear. I think expressing your own music and art, you're almost talking about something that is very personal. And I think expressing that to an audience is a very vulnerable thing. And sometimes, or many times, it can really trigger that fearful feeling. How did you overcome that fear, if you had any, and what kind of advice would you give to artists or who want to become artists overcome that?
I think that, if you want to, express something, but it makes you nervous to do that, again, I think it comes down to the functionality of the music that you're making. In my case, for this last record, I leaned into it and I was like, okay, this is, you know, it feels a little bit kind of, feels vulnerable. I'm not used to being vulnerable, but I'm going to use that as an exercise. I'm going to really steer into that feeling. Because I think it's going to make for a more personal album that more people will be able to connect to. But in some cases, I don't think it's appropriate. I think sometimes sometimes you just have to trust your gut. If your gut says, hey, I don't think you should be doing this, or then listen to it. But I think the fear of people's reception is something that is good to get over. I think that if the fear is that you are nervous that people won't like it, or that you're not good enough, or it's like imposter syndrome and you're like, I can't make this type of music because I don't feel like I'm a part of the scene or whatever. I think that's just ego getting in the way. And in a lot of cases, it's better to just push through that, because there's going to be a million reasons to not do something in any case, not just, you know, specific to music, but if you're passionate about music, and even if you're not, even if you just want to have fun and get some music software, record a song, why not? It's so easy now. That's the crazy thing too. We live in a time where you can make music on your phone. You can just record voice notes and put them into GarageBand, and do it all from your phone. So if the fear of failure is something that's keeping you from doing it, I don't know. It's better to, like I said, you know, when I started doing this, there was no fear of failure, because failure wasn't even a possibility. It was just like, who would I be failing? Only myself, because I literally did not expect for anyone to hear it. So yeah, I think that would be my encouragement. If you like music, or if you like going to parties and you like dance music, learn how to DJ. or if you are interested in the craft of songwriting, then write some songs. If you like radio, radio is a perfect example. If you love music, get down to CITR, get a show going, learn how to express yourself through the music that you play.
Amazing. Do you want to maybe tell the audience where they can hear your work of art?
Yeah. I mean, on any streaming platform as Teen Days, teendays.bandcamp.com. I've got my entire extensive catalog of music from the last 14 years all right there for you to listen to.
Awesome. Thank you so much again for having an interview with me. I hope you had a lot of fun. And once I let you go, I will turn on those two songs so everyone can hear your amazing songs. Thank you so much again, and I hope you have a lovely rest of the day.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Bye-bye. All right, everyone. That was Teen Days. Why don't we get into the song? Because I really want to hear it now. So this is from his earliest, his recent album, Eloquent Rhythms, called Backyard. I hope you guys enjoy it. Here we go. That was Backyard by Teen Days. The next song I would like to turn on is called Neighborhood, also by Teen Days, and is in the most recent album, Eloquent Rhythms. I hope you guys enjoy. Here we go.
She deserves an upgrade. Oh, heck yeah. An upgrade to Tampax Radiant. Thank you.
That was Neighborhood by Teen Days. That is all I have for you all today. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Stay safe. My name is Jeff, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.